Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, April 11th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A Zimbabwean woman has escaped from a house where she was living under harsh conditions in Kuwait.
I ran away to the Zimbabwean embassy. That's where I'm getting help. But now I don't have money to buy tickets. I managed to run away with my passport.
Cash-strapped Zimbabwe is forced to release $6.4 million for children of war veterans.
Zimbabwe is mulling ways of policing internet usage following what it calls some abuses on the web.
Zimbabweans fume over reports that President Mugabe's daughter is expected to give birth in the Middle East.
It doesn't give confidence to the citizens of Zimbabwe when we have the safety family and other top people who are supposed to see the better arrangement for the health sector, then shunning their own institutions.
And Zimbabwean son Brian Nira shines in the voice competition.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
A Zimbabwean woman has escaped from a house where she was living under harsh conditions in Kuwait. Chipo Sanyika is now in a halfway house. She is appealing for travel assistance in order to return to Zimbabwe. She was assisted by the Zimbabwe embassy to find a refuge in the halfway house. Sanyika is among hundreds of Zimbabwean women and girls that were promised lucrative jobs by suspected con men, only to find themselves trapped in various jobs, including commercial sex work. She speaks to Studio 7 about her situation right now.
The situation was so bad. There were long waking hours, no food, being forced to wait even if you are tired, even if you are sick. And the food, sometimes I couldn't even eat. I can even eat one meal per day.
So now what is the situation? The last time we spoke to you, you were still working for your employers who had hired you from Zimbabwe. But what's the situation now?
I ran away to the Zimbabwean embassy. That's where I'm getting help. But now I don't have money to buy tickets. I managed to run away with my passport.
When did you actually leave your employer and what prompted you to make that move?
Yesterday, around 6:30. Because the living conditions were not good. I can't work like a slave. I can't work like that anymore.
What were your duties?
I was supposed to clean about 15 rooms per day, taking care of 5 kids who were going to school. And one day, my madam, she forced me to wash her pajamas with period hand wash, not machine wash. So I refused. She attempted to beat me.
And you say that you left around 6. Was that 6 in the morning? And why did you choose that time?
6:30 in the morning. I choose that time because they were sleeping kids. They go out to school around 6. So then, madam and papa, they wake up at 11, 12 p.m.
Were there any cameras in the house and were you not afraid of being caught out?
Yes, there were. I was afraid, but I had no option. I prayed to God, please, God, help me out. There were cameras, but I was afraid of being caught, but I just made myself strong.
That was Chipo Sanyika, a Zimbabwean woman living in Kuwait, the Middle East, speaking with Studio 7.
Cash-strapped Zimbabwe has been forced to shell out $6.4 million for school fees of Liberation War veterans' children after President Robert Mugabe made an undertaking at an Indaba with the freedom fighters last week that he'll pressure Treasury to release the funds. This comes at a time when Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa has been struggling to pay salaries and bonuses for the 500,000-strong civil servants. Permanent Secretary for Welfare Services for War Veterans, War Liberators, ex-political detainees and ex-restrictees, retired Brigadier General Walter Tapfumanei, told the Sunday Mail that war veterans have also been granted hunting concessions in Matetsi, Victoria Falls, and have taken up a 19% stake for bus assembling after having been offered a guarantee of US$105 million from China for a share at Power Zim Limited. War veterans spokesman Douglas Mahia tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that war veterans have faith in Mr. Mugabe. Mahia says he does not have much information on the school fees payment.
I think the right person to comment on that is the PEMSEC of the Ministry of War Veterans. We don't get that information from the association.
But when are war veterans likely to receive the money? You don't even know.
No, I don't know yet because I'm not in the ministry. I'm only a member of the association. So such information is meant for ministry officials only.
And going forward, Mr. Mahia, there are some who are saying, well, the war veterans were just demanding too much, but the nation at the moment is bleeding and you were not probably looking at that. What would be your response?
Yeah, there is no way we can place ourselves as oppositions because we are building up on what we found. So really for people to expect opposition politics from all veterans and their party would not be quite appropriate.
Some are saying that maybe all these monies are being released at the moment because obviously Mr. Mugabe wants war veterans to campaign for him in 2018. Do you think that is the case?
I thought we must take him serious as the president of the Republic of Zimbabwe and the revolutionary commander and the commander-in-chief of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces that he really means looking after war veterans rather than thinking it the way people are thinking.
War veteran spokesman Douglas Mahia speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Hello there. To mark Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary, Studio 7 will be giving out solar-powered radios or T-shirts for our lucky winners. Simply invite 10 friends to join our VOA Studio 7 Facebook page. Ask them to like our page. Keep their names so we can verify your claim. We will also be running a daily competition for lucky winners. You only need to answer a simple question about Zimbabwe's independence. The draw will be conducted April 18th, Independence Day. Don't be left out.
The question today is, name three people who were part of the Lancaster House negotiations. The questions again, name three people who were part of the Lancaster House negotiations. Good luck.
The government is mulling ways of policing internet usage following President Mugabe's call that there's need to implement measures to control social media to minimize rampant abuse of the web. Several people have been arrested for sending or receiving messages or images that are deemed abusive of the president. Added to this, WhatsApp, a popular instant messaging application, has encrypted its services, meaning that the government cannot snoop into people's conversations. Just after landing at the Harare International Airport from Japan recently, Mr. Mugabe applauded the Chinese for putting measures that curb internet abuse. Minister for Information, Communication and Technology and Courier Services, Supamandi Wanzira, dismissed media reports that the government was planning a total ban on the use of the internet, saying it would only go after those that abuse it.
Well, the government is working on promoting the use of social media by making sure that those who abuse social media are penalized. The government is interested in promoting the use of social media. But the use of social media can be undermined by those who abuse that social media. So the president did express concern over the abuse and not use of social media. So we need to make that very clear. There is no problem with youth, there is a problem with abuse.
What about the aspect of Zimbabwe establishing its own kind of applications like Twitter and WhatsApp? Is that on the cards?
No, that is on the cards in every country. I think every country tries to promote an ICT industry in the development of software, gaming applications, and mobile phone applications.
Super Mandy Wanzira is the Minister for Information, Communication and Technology and Courier Services. He spoke there to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. We also reached the editor of the Zimbabwe Independent, Dumisani Muleya, who says the government's plans are misplaced.
Basically, for us, it's much of an authoritarian agenda, reminiscent of old-fashioned dictatorship. We do not need the government in that space. Government's job should be investing to develop infrastructure, broadband infrastructure, so that we have fast internet. We cannot have a government in this day and age sitting down and coming up with such an idea of trying to control people's access to social media, people's access to information. It's really unprogressive. Besides that, you know, it's really against the Constitution. The Constitution is very clear that people should have freedom and liberty to exchange ideas and information freely. Of course, the derogation is there, but the idea is that the government should be thinking more about facilitating the free flow of ideas and information rather than trying to limit or block access to such.
But Mr. Muleya, we spoke to Minister Mandy Wanzira. He says that is not true. The government does not intend to ban the social media, but wants to control those who abuse it. What's your take on that?
The citizens themselves, they are able to control them themselves.
And that was Dumisani Muleya, the editor of the Zimbabwe Independent. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people, including unemployment, health, education, politics, and much, much more.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Tomorrow, we are discussing calls by war veterans to reinstate the controversial National Youth Service.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
Some Zimbabweans say President Mugabe's daughter, Bona Mugabe Chikore, should have been admitted at a local hospital to deliver a baby instead of being allegedly flown by her parents and in-laws to get health care in the Middle East. They say this is a clear indication that top state officials and their relatives are shunning the country's healthcare facilities, currently facing degradation due to lack of manpower, shortages of drugs and related issues. President Mugabe told mourners at the funeral wake of late ZANU-PF Politburo member Victoria Chitepo that his daughter is expected to give birth soon in Dubai. First Lady Grace Mugabe is reportedly in Dubai with other family members. Blessing Chebundo, former chairperson of the Health Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube Bona Mugabe Chikore should have been asked to give birth at a local hospital.
It doesn't give confidence to the citizens of Zimbabwe when we have the Fetsi family and other top people who are supposed to see the better arrangement for the health sector, then shunning their own institutions, shunning their own people that they train to take care of the health of the people, going out, what does it mean, the people, the ordinary people? It doesn't give confidence. And I think, again, it's a waste of people's money, because they are not free playing with their own money. That's taxpayers' money, obviously. It's not a good thing to do.
So now, what will it take for Zimbabwe to revive the health sector?
The totality of the economy is down in Zimbabwe, but the hospital, to some extent, are functioning. The extent that Bona should have given birth here in Zimbabwe, taken care by our midwives,
here in Zimbabwe. We do have facilities that can actually take care of you. And what we are trying to say is that if a father shuns the food or the services that is in his own household, what then will become of your children? It's not good, but obviously we need to see everything, the whole of the health institution, the health sector being brought up, giving its priority in terms of making sure that the health of the people are put first.
That was Blessing Chebundo, former chairperson of the Health Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Studio 7 was unable to get a comment from presidential spokesman George Charamba and Health Minister David Parirenyatwa as they were not responding to calls on their mobile.
In a related development, doctors have gone back to work after signing new state contracts. They were refusing to sign the contract, saying they violated their rights. The doctors' industrial action had led to the closure of some critical departments at Mpilo and Harare hospitals. The two hospitals are now fully operational. Dr. Martin Mlilo, one of the affected doctors, tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri they benefited from the industrial action because the government gave in to some of their demands.
Most doctors actually started their work on the 5th of April after they realized that the government was not willing to move in terms of the discussions that were going on the issues that had remained in terms of those discussions. So the doctors realized that the people who were suffering a lot, our relatives, were dying because of lack of care and the unavailability of doctors. So the doctors agreed that it is in the best interest of the patients to go back to work.
What about the employment contracts that they were refusing to sign?
The doctors decided to sign the contracts because they realized that they actually made some gains in terms of the negotiations, and the remaining issues seemed as if those are the main reasons why the government had introduced the contract to begin with. So the government was not very much willing to cooperate and to move in terms of discussions or negotiations to iron out those issues. So the doctors thought that in the best interest of the patients, it is good to go back to work while at least we come up with another strategy in terms of how to tackle those issues that are remaining in terms of the grievances.
That was Dr. Martin Mlilo on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. The ZANU-PF Central Committee, Victoria Chitepo, who died last year, the ZANU-PF Central Committee member, Victoria Chitepo, who died last Friday and has been declared a national hero, is expected to be laid to rest on Wednesday. Chitepo is the widow of the late ZANU-PF chairman, Herbert Chitepo, who was assassinated during the liberation struggle in Zambia. ZANU-PF spokesman Simon Kayamoyo is quoted by the state-controlled media as saying the necessary arrangements are being made for the burial of Victoria Chitepo, who was once a cabinet minister. And now we take a look at regional and international news.
A rhinoceros featured in a popular wildlife television series has been put down by veterinarians in Zimbabwe after it was critically wounded by poachers.
More Americans are said in a new survey released today they will definitely vote or consider voting for Democrat Bernie Sanders than any other candidate left in the 2016 presidential race.
The Zimbabwe Diabetic Association estimates that 10 out of 100 people in the country have diabetes, but may be unaware as many remain undiagnosed due to lack of knowledge about the disease. Dr. John Mangwiro, the president of the association, says they are lobbying government to provide free access to diabetic medications. Dr. Mangwiro tells Studio 7 lack of current statistics on the disease and its prevalence is hampering progress in coming up with a comprehensive program of managing the disease.
The diabetes cases are going up, especially type 2. This is because of our rural to urban migration and these takeaways and these new juices and all those sweet things that are on the market these days. And even when we're commemorating the day with the Minister Chek, we are agreed that cases are going up. But unfortunately, we do not have statistics as to how many cases there are now. But basing on the 2005 statistics, we were saying almost 10% of the population had diabetes. But from IDF, Atlas and other places, diabetes is going up, and I'm sure the same thing is happening in Zimbabwe. So what we need to do is to sort of get the statistics urgently so that we can give government statistics, and then this will have the government move forward with planning for diabetes, and then we may know who to target when we are doing our awareness programs here.
Can you explain the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes?
Type 1 diabetes is found in people aged below 30 years. And it's mainly because these people do not have a functioning pancreas. They need insulin for the rest of their life. Whereas type 2 is mainly people above 30 years of age. And these people have this disease because they have too much food in terms of starch and fat, and they are usually obese, and they drink a lot of some too much beer, some of these fizzy drinks, and the 100% juices, which are quite fashionable these days. And these are usually the working age group, and these are consist of almost 95% of cases of diabetes, whereas type 1 is just about 5%, yes.
When it comes to treatment, is the medication available for those that are actually suffering from diabetes, or what are some of the challenges that people are facing, and how can they be overcome?
Medications, we have the very few medications. We do not have enough for everyone. But what there is quite expensive and maybe unreachable for most patients. So what is required is that maybe there might be a legislation in which we are, as an association, we are trying to lobby for, that these diabetics have maybe free medications just like other chronic diseases have. Because most of these medications are so expensive, and people end up staying at home or not taking enough doses because the medications are not reachable. They are too expensive. We need to have a legislation to help the diabetics, because the medication, even if it's very little, what there is, too expensive.
That was Zimbabwe Diabetic Association President Dr. John Mangwiro speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Hello, Zimbabwe. This month we are commemorating Zimbabwe's 36th independence anniversary. The 18th of April 1980 was a significant moment celebrated by millions of people, including the late great Bob Nesta Marley, on Independence Day in Harare. Cause that's the only way we can overcome a little trouble. What are your thoughts of that moment? And what about 36 years later? Send us your thoughts on our WhatsApp number 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. We are also on Facebook and Twitter.
Zimbabwean son Brian Nira, currently competing in the U.S. show The Voice, will tonight perform during the show's coveted live rounds. Nira, born in the United States to Zimbabwean parents, will now require votes for a chance to win the show. He, along with 18 others, will perform weekly. Votes will ultimately decide the winner. Nira speaks to the reporter Tatenda Gumbo, updating us on his journey, especially his almost being eliminated from The Voice.
Going into the battle round, both of our objective, if you will, was to make the decision as hard as possible on Pharrell. We wanted to make him agonize over the decision, agonize over who he would have to pick as the winner. I don't want to be needing your love. I just want to be deep in your love. It's killing me when you're away. Oh, baby, 'cause I really don't care where you are.
just want to be there where you are, and I gotta get one of you take.
So it turns out through, you know, a series of events that some may have seen that I ended up being the one who lost the battle. But thankfully, I was stolen by Adam Levine and Christina Aguilera, and I decided to go with Adam Levine.
How did you feel when you saw that, you know, Pharrell had gone with Abby rather than you?
Yeah, you know, just how everything unfolded. Pharrell, he thought that I would have the better chance of getting stolen at that very moment.
And so now you're on Team Adam. And on the latest show, we saw you and you were in the knockout rounds where you were going up against Nate. Now you sang a Bruno Mars song. How was that? How did you pick the song?
I picked Grenade because, first of all, I thought that it'd be a great knockout song. You know, the knockout round is a round where you have about a minute and a half to prove to the coach that you belong to stay on his team.
To give me all your love was all I ever asked. 'Cause what you don't understand is I got your grenade for you.
And so I thought Grenade was the perfect song.
So now as you go to the live rounds, a lot of people are asking, are people outside of the U.S. able to vote?
Yes, I do believe that they're able to vote. You know, anybody who has iTunes can download my single right after my performance, which counts for 10 votes. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go onto NBC.com and vote, The Voice Facebook page, and then the last one, it's The Voice app. Mm-hmm. That was the last one. So those are the four ways that you can vote.
There you go, Brian Nira, The Voice competitor, asking for your votes. He was speaking there with Tatenda Gumbo from L.A., Los Angeles, California.
And in sports news, it's celebration time for the Mighty Warriors, but not so for Dynamo's assistant coach Gift Muzadzi. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
Kusati kwapera gore apo maMighty Warriors akabudirira kuenda kuma 2016 Rio Olympic Games. Chikwata chenhabvu chevanhukadzi chichawedzera imwe peji munhoro ndoyekubudirira kwavo mushure mekurova Zambia 3-2 nezuro ndokukwanisa kuenda kuma 2016 Africa Women's Championships. Chikwata ichi chabata after qualifying for the 2016 Rio Olympics, the Mighty Warriors have added another chapter to their success story after a convincing 3-2 win over Zambia's Chipolopolo Sunday saw them secure qualification to the 2016 Africa Women's Championships. The Mighty Warriors joined the 15 other top African women's soccer teams after a 4-2 win aggregate, having beaten the Zambians 1-0 last Wednesday. The African Women's Championships will be held in Cameroon from November 19 to December 3. As we speak right now, the Minister of Sports and Recreation, Makosini Hlongwane, is at a Harare hotel throwing a party for the Mighty Warriors to celebrate their qualification. However, there is no such happiness at Dynamos after their fans went on a rampage demanding the head of assistant coach Gift Muzadzi following Dimbara's goalless draw against Triangle Saturday. The fans had to be dispersed by riot police as they demonstrated outside the ground, waiting for the club executive to come out of the stadium so that their voices could be heard. The fans are accusing Muzadzi of instigating the players not to play at their best in order to facilitate the sacking of Dimbare's new Portuguese coach Paulo Jorge Silva. Silva himself was straight to the point, saying his players were not putting up maximum effort, adding that he hoped, starting from this week, they will change their attitude.
If you ask me if I'm happy, I'm not happy, because something's happened I don't like. I know these players, he can play 10 times better than what he played today. But some things is not right yet. But I think next week he got to fix this.
Triangle coach Dave Mangora, who was sacked as Dynamo's coach last season, was happy with his team's showing, saying although he wanted 3 points, at least a point away from home, especially against Dynamo's, is very crucial.
Well, a point away from home is always good. At least it's better to get a point than to get nothing.
The results of the game sees Dynamos.
That's all for tonight. Sorry, we have to stop it there. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga.